This is Twit.
All right, Micah, what can you tell us about this Twitter Blue thing?
So there's long been, you know, a rumor that Twitter was planning on announcing a subscription service of some sort. And we didn't quite know what it was at first. And then on Twitter, I should remember the Twitter account because this person routinely posts. They do the thing that a lot of tech journalists / developers do, or several, I should say, tech journalists / developers do, which is they go into the app code for different apps and they look at what has changed, what's new, what's different. And then by doing that, they are able to find hints about what might be coming and what the developers might be working on. And so Jane Wong on Twitter is a great follow if you're wanting to see what apps and services are working on, particularly if you want to see what Twitter is working on, because she was the first one to post about Twitter launching, testing some subscription stuff that later became Twitter Blue. What's funny is that the way that Twitter Blue was rolled out, or was kind of even more revealed, was because Twitter rolled out an app update to the iOS App Store. And one of the things that happens in the App Store is you can go to any app entry and scroll down on the app page, and you can see the in-app purchases that are available within the app. Well, Twitter updated its app, and on its App Store page, there was a line item for Twitter Blue for $2.99 or something like that. And so then people were like, Twitter has confirmed without confirming that Twitter Blue is happening. And now they have confirmed with confirming that Twitter Blue is happening as of today, Thursday, June 3rd, 2021. Twitter has announced and introduced Twitter Blue. So with Twitter Blue, the idea here is that there are some people who are Twitter power users, people who are on Twitter all day, every day, and love Twitter and want to use more of Twitter. I know that's a shock for some folks, and even amongst those of us who jokingly say that we, you know, I've been on this hell site for 7 years, but we keep using it. Same thing here. I was a little surprised that there were, you know, these different power users, but I am honestly considering subscribing to this, A, because I do want to keep this service alive, and B, because there are some interesting things. So let's start at the top. First is bookmark folders. So on Twitter, it used to be that the way that people saved their content was by tapping the like button. But over time, for a lot of people, myself included, the like button has turned into a bit of a red receipt. And so you can sort of say, oh, I saw that and I acknowledge it and thank you, or I acknowledge it and I laughed or whatever, without having to necessarily reply. And because that happened, folks who wanted to have a way to bookmark stuff on Twitter, you know, it was getting mixed up in their I acknowledge that I've seen this tweet list. And so Twitter introduced bookmarks. And this was, the bookmark feature alone was a while back, so that you could have two separate things. You could do your likes that say, I've seen this, and you could also have bookmarks for content that you want to find again. Now, with Twitter Blue, you can organize those bookmarks into separate folders. So on Twitter, Twitter's blog posts, they show some bookmarks for funny, threads, cute, movies / books / podcasts, and things to buy. So you could very easily see that you could start to get those organized. I was just thinking about people who have newsletters where they include a section that is, funny tweets they saw that week. This would be a great way to be able to save those very easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Without having to use a third-party service or something like that. And for me, it's I have ones for like, show this to my partner again, the things to buy is definitely one of mine for sure. Sure. So those are all on there. Then the next one, which is what I call the peacemaker. And I don't know if it's actually going to make peace or if it's going to have folks just pushing even more for this to happen. But undo tweet. Now, here's how undo tweet works. Because when I first heard about undo tweet, I thought, okay, but I can just read my tweet before I send it, which is something that a lot of people don't do, which you should. And sometimes I fall, you know, I mess that up too. But I am a person, this is an aside, this is a total aside, but I am a person who has absolutely no qualms with deleting a tweet that has an error in it. If it has an error and I don't want it there, I delete it. I don't, there's some folks have this, like, I can't delete any tweets that I put out. And so then they just complain about having or being unable to delete tweets. I don't understand that. Just, it's okay. You can delete the tweet and start over. But anyway, so I thought, how is undo tweet actually, you know, worthwhile? And here's how it works. First of all, you can set a time limit up to 30 seconds. So it's a customizable timer up to 30 seconds that before the tweet actually gets sent, you have those 30 seconds to edit it, undo, but by undoing it to make an adjustment, or you can tap send now if you're ready to send it off. But what it does is it takes you from that compose screen and it shows your tweet kind of how it would look in the app. So it does kind of shift your mind, shift your frame of reference, and then you're able to kind of look at the tweet and you know, see it in its final form. And that's often when people end up cutting it. Because interestingly, this is the way that our brains work. Our brains are magical, but sometimes they're working against us. And one way that they are both magical and working against us is when it comes to copy editing. Our brains are really good at autocorrect. And so that's why they have those long passages sometimes you can find. They used to get sent in emails. Back in the day, we got chain emails. But now you can just see the posts on different social media sites where the letters in a word are all rearranged, but you can still read the whole phrase. You can still read the whole paragraph. Mm-hmm. Our brains are really good at autocorrect. And so context switching, I learned this from my copy editor as I was learning to become one. Context switching is very helpful to undoing or temporarily pausing the autocorrect in our brains. So going from that compose screen where your brain may get used to it and then autocorrect any errors that you make, because your brain is the one that's sort of developing the phrase as your, you know, what your sentence or whatever your sentence is and putting it in there. So it reads it and expects to see the thing that you just, that it just created. Mm-hmm. And so it's more likely that you'll autocorrect. But seeing it in that different context of how it'll eventually look, that's why most of the time we do catch our own errors, because we're seeing it in a different context. And then we're going, oh no, I forgot to put a comma there. Or, oh, I used the wrong two or what have you. So undo tweet, I actually think is worth value, has some value to it.
I completely agree. Do you use undo send in Gmail, email? The setting?
Yeah. Yeah. So I use Spark Email for most of this. It's just an email app, and Spark Email has its own undo send feature. So I have it set up with Gmail, but I hardly ever send emails from the Gmail app itself. But in any case, yes, I have undo send on all of my stuff.
Yeah. So do I. Mostly. It's one of those things where you're like, I don't know, like, why can't I? Like, I see some folks in chat, like, you know, you just read over it. And when you know you're certain, but there, you click it. But there's something about, like, how many times has undo send saved me? Because the second I click it, it's like I can't explain it. It's like my brain shifts from what I was seeing before to suddenly recognizing these things that I completely missed. And there's just something about that shift from, like, all right, I'm done. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm not. Now I see this thing. And it saved me so many times. So I'm all about this feature. I think this is the right way to go. Instead of an edit tweet, which they're not rolling out, which some people have called for, I always thought that was like, I don't know that works for for the Twitter thing. But the undo send is perfect. Like, I love that.
Yep. And then the last kind of big feature is one called reader mode. And the way that reader mode works is, because I thought it was just for when you click on a link and it takes you to a site and then the reader mode is kind of set up, but that was not what this is. Instead, when you are viewing threads, it will let you turn on reader mode, which kind of removes all of the extra cruft in the UI. So the individual reply and like and all that kind of stuff goes away. So it's just the text and the photos that the person has included in the thread. So you can just easily read through the different tweets that they sent out without having all that stuff in the way. So I think that's a really cool thing. I'm kind of bummed for everyone on Twitter that's not a feature that's just available to everybody, because I think that would be one that's beneficial and more accessible to folks. So that one, more than anyone, I'm like, I don't think that should be a premium feature. That should just be a feature. But that's an aside. The last thing is that there are some color theming and app icon adjustments that you can make. So you can sort of change the color of the Twitter app icon on iOS, and I'm not sure about it on Android, and then color theming. So you can set up Twitter to look how you want it to. Now, the last thing to understand or to know is that this is rolling out in Australia and Canada first before they bring it elsewhere to give it a go, see how it goes, kick the tires on the thing, etc. It'll be $3.49 a month in Canada and $4.49 a month in Australia, which of course are adjusted for the currencies there. So yeah, anybody in Australia and Canada, you can sign up for Twitter Blue and provide feedback to see if there's anything else that you would like to have added or you'd like to have adjusted. But I will probably be subscribing to this when it comes to the US, just because A, I like to check out all the new features, but B, there's some good stuff in here that for me, as a person who does use Twitter all the time and tries not to complain about being there despite myself, I will take advantage of these things.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I've kind of gone through this with Google Photos account as well. Gone through the arc of this. At the end of the day, when I look at how I use the internet and the services that I use, and more importantly, the services that I absolutely rely on, like the ones that I use multiple times every single day. So obviously there's some value there. More and more, it's kind of like, okay, so $2.99 is expected to be the price of Twitter Blue when it comes to the US. Like, I feel, for me, I should be okay spending that, because I use Twitter and have for years. Why not? Same for Google Photos. I actually have a hands-on tech that went up yesterday that's all about moving your Google Photos library over to a Synology NAS to do self-hosted thing. And I mean, even there, I say in the piece, I'm sticking with both. I'm going to do both, because that's a true backup solution. Then I'm backing up here and I'm backing up to the cloud. But B, Google Photos has been an amazing app. So has, and Twitter has been an excellent service. As much as I've had issues with the, certain moments of Twitter, and really that's less the service and more kind of what's going on the network, but why not? It's like $2.99 a month for a service that I use all the time. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm cool with that. You mentioned something about this reader mode being a feature, though, that would be good for everyone, and I would kind of say they all kind of fall in that category. If Twitter had wanted to, they could have just released these as extra new features in the Twitter free service. And it would have been no one would have batted an eye. It would have been like, oh, those are great new features for Twitter. So I'm interested in their choice to charge for these things. Not questioning whether it's worth it, because I will do it. I will support Twitter in this. But I'm interested in their rationale, their reason why, hey, we got to charge for these features instead of just improve the feature set that's already there. Is it because they're not making as much money as a Facebook is off of ads, off of directed advertising? I don't know the answer, but I'm curious about that.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how this all goes and how long it takes to come to the US.